Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hey there, welcome to the Gary Zimek Show. I'm Gary Zimek, and it is so great to be back with you here once again. And I really thank you for stopping by. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes, and I hope you will be able to stick around for the entire program. I got good news for you this week. A reward awaits you. Yep, there is a reward in your future. We're going to talk about that today as we look at the Mass readings for the 33rd Sunday, or the 32nd, I should say, Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, this is, I'm sorry, 33rd Sunday, I was right. This is technically the final Sunday in Ordinary Time, or the church year, but I say technically because we have one more Sunday before the church year comes to an end. The 34th Sunday is known as the Solemnity of Christ the King, where we celebrate, it's a big day, it's a solemnity, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is our Lord, our Savior, and our King. But as far as the numbering goes, today is the final, I would say, Sunday in Ordinary Time, the final numbered Sunday, the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. But we still have one more. So really what we're talking about is from this Sunday, there are 2 weeks until we start the Advent season and the beginning of a new church year. Now, that's pretty scary, isn't it, when you think about that? But it's good news. And as I was talking about over the past few weeks, if you've been listening to the program, as we get to the end of the church year, the church wants us to remember and tries to call it to mind by the readings that are chosen, the fact that our time on earth is temporary. And that's so that we realize that this we don't have unlimited time, which honestly I think is a good thing. Because especially as you get older, you realize there's a lot of difficulties that go along with life. But we want to remember that we have limited time on earth so that we make the most of it. And that's what Christ wants us to do. And you're going to hear that loud and clear in the gospel today. But the good news is that you have a reward awaiting you in heaven. All you got to do is follow Jesus. I mean, legitimately, really follow him, listen to him, and do what he said. And if you do that, you're going to make it to heaven. You know, but yes, you can mess it up. That's what the church teaches. But I don't want to look at it that way because really it's not that difficult to understand. All we need to do is follow Jesus and try our best to do what he wants us to do. That doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. You are going to mess up. We all do. That's why we're sinners. We have a fallen human nature. Jesus doesn't want you to be perfect. He just wants you to try. And when you mess up, when you fall into sin, to ask for forgiveness, to receive the grace through the pardon, grace and pardon through the sacrament of reconciliation, and to try your best with the help of his grace to not sin anymore. That's the plan. And that's the way that the Lord set it out. So there is a reward. I mean, you really can look at it two ways. You can look at the glass being half full or half empty and say that, yes, if we don't follow the rules, there is a possibility that we will go to hell, that we, you know, and that we'll end up not living in heaven. Yeah, of course there's that possibility. But that requires you to reject God in a deliberate way by committing some serious sins and refusing to repent. I mean, you got to work at that. Sometimes we act like, well, if we don't work really hard to be good, then we're just going to end up in hell. No, you really have to work with God's mercy. You have to work to get into hell. You know, so, but we want to make sure that we're not just looking for our reward and to do what's going to net us the biggest prize in heaven. We, at some point along the line, we would really want to love Jesus and express our love for him by doing good. You know, it's not all about getting what we want, although a lot of times that's how we get started. That's how many conversions take place. We realize that, well, I don't want to go to hell. I want something good. And it makes us realize, and when I say us, I'm pointing to myself right now. It makes us realize that I need to fix some things in my life or else I could be in trouble. But then, as you probably know, as that relationship with Christ develops, as you get to know him better and you walk with him every day, you reach a point where you realize how much he loves you and you want to repay that love by doing good. That's the ultimate purpose. That should be the ultimate purpose of doing good things. But today's show is all about, yeah, this life is temporary. You got a super duper reward waiting for you when your life on earth is over. But there's some things that you got to take care of here first. And that's why we're here. That's what Jesus wants us to know. That's what the church wants us to know. So that's what we're going to talk about today, the fact that a reward awaits you. It's always such a pleasure to be here with you. Hope you got a snack. Hope you got a beverage. Hope you're ready to settle in and do some chatting. And I want to start, before we pray, I just want to thank you because for the past several shows, I've been letting you know that financially, I'm struggling a bit right now due to the fact that I can't speak. Because all of my travel has been canceled, parishes aren't holding events. You know, it's a tough time. And anybody who is a Christian speaker right now is really hurting because it's not an easy time. And I've been telling you that since I do this full time and I support my family this way, I've been asking for donations and you've been coming through. And I really appreciate that. If you have not done so, I would really urge you to at least consider it. Oh, if you enjoy the work that I do, if you enjoy this program, if you enjoy my daily email devotional, if you enjoy any of the work, my daily podcast, in addition to this weekly program, I do these all free of charge. I don't charge for the podcast. I don't charge for the daily email devotional. And somehow, without speaking engagements, which was a big part of my income, I have to still support my family by spreading the good news. You've been coming through for me, and I really do appreciate that. So thank you for your donations, and thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your words of support. It means a lot to me. I do this program. I do all of my work because of you. I want to help you grow closer to God through having a relationship with his son, Jesus. That's the reason I do what I do. And I want to share some good news and give you hope. Because I'll tell you what, there are a lot of hopeless people in the world nowadays. And we have no reason to be hopeless because with God, all things are possible. And that's why I do what I do. So I just wanted, before we start the show, to thank you and let you know how much I appreciate your generosity. How about if we pray now? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. We acknowledge your power and your love, Father. You can do all things. You are everywhere. You know everything. And yet, Father, you always manage to find time for us. Whenever we want to speak with you, we know you hear. We know you respond. And we know your love never changes. Father, we're so grateful for that. Even though we're not always faithful to you, you are always, always, always faithful to us. Father, we come before you, first of all, thanking you for all that you have done for us, all that you've done for your people throughout history. We thank you, Father, for sending your son Jesus to redeem us. We thank you for the gift of Scripture. We thank you for the gift of the church. We thank you, Father, for the gift of our lives. We're alive today because of your generosity, and we're so grateful for that. Father, as we turn to you in prayer today, we ask you to bless us, to bless our families, to bless all of those individuals who we will encounter. We pray for the United States, currently in a period of transition and in a still quite divided. And we pray for unity in our country, the United States, and really unity and peace throughout the world as well. Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument today. I know you have a message for us. Please let me know what it is that I'm supposed to say. And open all of our hearts and all of our minds to be receptive to the message that you have for us. Father, I ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, thank you so much for praying with me. It's always a pleasure. My name is Gary Zimak. This is The Gary Zimak Show. And as I said at the start of the program, we're going to be talking today as we look at the Mass readings for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time about a reward that awaits all of us in heaven. And this is, as we come to the end of the church year, something we need to focus on, this reward that awaits us in heaven, and a reminder that our time on earth is limited and that something is expected of us. So with that in mind, let's launch into the readings. Before I do that, though, I want to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com. If you haven't been there, you can find out all about the books that I've written, including my latest, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit, as well as you can sign up for my daily email devotional, totally free of charge, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. That way you can get a little reminder from me every day. Typically, the message is to help you to experience some kind of peace in the midst of the craziness of daily life, a reminder that God wants to be a part of your daily life. Also, you can find out about my daily podcast, which is called Following the Truth. If you like this program, which comes to you once a week, you can subscribe to the daily podcast. Again, it's free. It's 30 minutes a day. Focuses on a number of different topics, but the general message is the same. I pretty much open up the Bible, and we look at God's Word and how it pertains to our daily lives. So followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right. Got to take me a sip of my nice cold water. Now, typically, I'm a coffee guy. I can drink hot coffee no matter what the temperature is, which, by the way, the weather lately in southern New Jersey has been fantastic. This is not November weather. It's been especially warm, which I'm fine with. But I typically can drink hot coffee, whether it's hot or cold. But today, I figured I'm going to change it up a little bit, have some nice cold water. Hope you brought a beverage, hope you got a snack, and hope you're ready to get started. So these readings for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, and as I've told you before, in case you're a first-time listener, I want to let you know what we do. I always begin with the gospel, because the gospel, according to the church, has a place of prominence as far as the books of the Bible goes. The gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four books, even though the entire Bible is considered to be inspired by God, the gospels hold a special place. So the church really uses the gospel to lead the way each Sunday. And then the first reading, the responsorial psalm, are chosen to match the gospel. And the second reading, typically, it's not chosen to match the gospel. It more or less moves sequentially. But I always try, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to find a connection to the overall theme. And I really think, as you see today, the theme is about this heavenly reward. But the point that the point that we need to do work here, even though our life on earth is temporary, doesn't mean we should just sit around and do nothing. That's not what Jesus wants. So with that in mind, let's look at the gospel from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. And this is about a parable. Jesus told his disciples this parable. So a parable is a story. It helps the listeners of Christ to understand, because he uses terms and concepts that would be familiar to them. Now, for us, sometimes the concepts that he uses might be a little foreign to us. So you know, you need to do a little digging sometimes to find out what the theme really is or where Jesus is going. But here it is. Jesus told his disciples this parable. A man going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to a third 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Immediately the one who received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who received 2 made another 2. But the man who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. So what we have here is a talent is a sum of money. We have a master giving to his servants some, distributing a different amount of money to each one. And then he goes away on a journey. They didn't all get the same thing. Some got more than others. But you see, they invested, with the exception of the one guy who got 1 talent, they went and invested what they had to make more. Except the one guy who buried his master's money in the ground, wanting to make sure that nothing happened to it, right? So after a long time, the master of these servants came back and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing the additional 5. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. And his master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." Then the one who received 2 talents also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I've made 2 more. And his master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." Then the one who had received the 1 talent came forward and said, "Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant and gathering where you did not scatter. So out of fear, I went off and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is back." And his master said to him in reply, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter. Should you not then have put my money in the bank so that I could have got it back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." Now, obviously, when you hear this parable, it's enough to make you freak out and you think like, oh no, what is Jesus trying to say? And in reality, the message is simple. And I want you to understand something. He's so dramatic and he's so extreme with this parable because he wants people to pay attention. He wants his disciples. Remember, he's talking to his followers here. And he wants them to pay attention. So he's talking to us, and he uses some extreme language so that we pay attention. And I would say the moral of the parable is that we don't get the same gifts and the same talents. Some of us get less than others. Some get more. That's not the point of this story. Because if you notice, it wasn't a matter of how much money the servants gave back to the master. Because we had the first 2, the one had 5 talents, he earned 5 more, so he gives his master 5. The other guy, he gives him 10, the other guy, the second servant, made 2, and he added it to the 2 he had. So he gave the master back 4 talents. There's a difference. And the guy who had 1, he gave him back the 1, but he did nothing with it. So the message is, each of us gets a different number of gifts and talents. We all have different abilities. Some people are more gifted than others. It's true. At the end of your life, the Lord's not going to hold against you the fact that you had less talents than somebody else. What he's going to do is hold it against you if you waste the talent that he gives you. So that's the message. There's a reward waiting for you. And make no mistake, you're going to be judged one day. there's a heavenly reward where you will live in total happiness forever. That's a pretty sweet reward, right? But you got to show something for the life that you lived on earth. What did you do with the talents that God gave you? And it doesn't matter how many you have. He wants you to do something. What are you doing for God in your life? You know, and it's going to be different. It's going to look different for each of us. But the point is, we're all called to do something. We're not called to do more than we're capable of. And I think that's a really realistic and fair message. The guy who buried his talent in the ground, he was afraid. Sometimes we're afraid to go out and do something for God because we might look stupid or we're not good enough. Well, no, we're supposed to try. And that's all the Lord is asking of us, to go out and use the talent we get. And so that at the end of our life, we can show that we did something. And that goes for, you know, really every day that we're alive. You're alive right now, right? I know that. You and me, we're alive right now. So therefore, God expects something out of us. Even if you can't get out of the house, you can still pray. You can still fast. You can still read some scripture. You can maybe call a friend. I mean, there's things we can all do. We can offer up our suffering. There's always something. And that's what the church wants us to remember. You know, just as in this parable, the master came back one day and he's going to look at the work that his servants did. And that's going to have a determination. He's going to make a determination. Are they worthy of the reward? Right? He's going to do that one day at the end of our lives, or if it comes first, his second coming. But one of those things is going to happen relatively soon. Are we ready? And again, it's not a bad message. Focus on the reward. You know, you don't have to be successful. You have to try. And I think that's the thing that sometimes we get caught up in. Well, I have to succeed. No, you don't have to succeed. Try to do something for God using the talents you have. Okay, it's really not that difficult. But I know it can be scary sometimes. But that's why that we need to hear this message. So the first reading continues that reward theme. Now, if you took it on its own, this first one, it might be a little tricky, but when you pair it up with the gospel, it's pretty apparent what the church is trying to teach us. It's Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. When one finds a worthy wife, her value is far beyond pearls. Her husband, entrusting his heart to her, has an unfailing prize. She brings him good and not evil all the days of her life. She obtains wool and flax and works with loving hands. She puts her hands to the distaff and her fingers ply the spindle. She reaches out her hands to the poor and extends her arms to the needy. Charm is deceptive and beauty fleeting. The woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now listen to this. Give her a reward for her labors and let her works praise her at the city gates. Now, obviously, what's happening in here is recognition of this woman who's doing good works and is rewarded ultimately. So you see how the message of the reward comes out when you pair that first reading with the gospel. Now let's look at the responsorial psalm, and you'll see a similar message here as well. It's Psalm 128. Blessed are those who fear the Lord. That's the response. Now, just by looking at that, that can be a little confusing. You might not make the connection. Let me read a little. Blessed are you who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You see that? That's the good works. That's doing good. Now, by our works are not going to get us to heaven. We get to heaven because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. But our works enable us to cooperate with the grace that Christ gives us. So we still have a role to play in getting to heaven. We're doing it because of his sacrifice. It's the only way we were ever able to get the reservation in the first place. But we still got to get there. And that happens through our good works. For you shall eat the fruit of your handiwork. So in other words, you do good and there's going to be a reward someday. Blessed shall you be and favored. That's a good point for us to remember. There is a reward for us waiting in heaven. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the recesses of your home, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, this is the man, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. So in other words, there is a reward for the work that you've done, the good work that you've done in this life. Again, it's a simple message, one that we really need to hear. The second reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Concerning times and seasons, brothers and sisters, you have no need for anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief at night. See that message of like one day, you don't know when your judgment's going to be, but it's going to come. So just stay awake. Simple, right? Stay awake. Be ready. When people are saying peace and security, then sudden disaster comes upon them, like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness for that day to overtake you like a thief. For all of you are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as the rest do, but let us stay alert and sober. Isn't that good? That's the reminder. Those of us who are Christians, who are followers of Christ, if we listen to Jesus, he's told us, you're not going to know the day. You're not going to know the hour, but be ready. Be ready. Do good every day. Follow me. Repent when you have to. Do your best. Make use of the talents that I have given you. That's what the Lord's saying. One day, you don't know when, you're going to be judged. And you know why? That's a good thing. Because if we knew the day, we would probably, speaking for myself, we would probably have a tendency to slack off until it was time to be judged. But when we don't know, that way we tend to be more vigilant and we are doing good every day, which is what a Christian should do. So there you go. Again, it's not a bad message. The good news is that a reward awaits you in heaven. But we need to get busy and do what we need to do to make sure that we get there. Okay. Hey, listen, I want to thank you for joining me on the show today. If you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And if you haven't yet made a donation and you'd like to help me to sustain my ministry, you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com. If you'd like to become a monthly sponsor, it doesn't cost that much. You can do it for $10 a month, which equates to 33 cents a day. That helps me tremendously, and it can be canceled at any time. It's done through PayPal. It's safe, secure. It's not difficult. But if you would rather make a one-time donation, you can do that as well. All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and you will be all set. You can take it to PayPal at that point, and it's done 100% securely. If you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com about that. Okay? Again, thank you. I'm very grateful for your support. Very grateful that we can do this. And God willing, I look forward to being back here with you next week. We'll see what the Lord decides. But remember, throughout the week, I'm going to be praying for you. If you would pray for me, I would really appreciate that. And just keep in mind the fact that, yeah, there is going to be a judgment one day. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. As long as you treat each day as it's your last and try to do good. Try your best to do good. That's it. Really, it is that simple. Don't waste those talents that the Lord gave you, okay? Because he expects one day for you to let him know, this is what I did with the talents that you gave me, right? All right, I'm praying for you. God bless you. Have yourself a wonderful week, and I look forward to being back with you next week on The Gary Zimek Show. See ya.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.